Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass on Joy 94.9.
Our next guest is David Davis. David was on quite recently with us. David is the leader of the opposition in the Legislative Council and obviously the leader of the Liberal Party there. He has a number of shadow portfolios. In fact, I'm actually surprised how many you've got, David. You've got one, two, three, four, five, six. You've got six. How do you end up with six?
Oh, it keeps me busy, that's all.
God, I have enough trouble dealing with one portfolio.
Well, we're particularly interested in your equality portfolio, as always, being an LGBTIQ plus radio station. How are you this morning?
I'm actually well, Taz. Well, Macca, good to talk to both of you.
Look, it's always a pleasure. Now, David, we wanted to start off with, and I'm sure you've done a bit of preparation. It won't have escaped you, branch stacking in the Liberal Party and all that's being said about that. I find this quite disturbing. I know, as leader of the party, and you've been a member of the Parliamentary Party and a member of the Liberal Party for a very long time, I'd like you to give us your reflections on this and how you think it impacts on the Parliamentary Party, but also, you know, Liberal voters and swinging voters out there, what you think they think about this?
I think the average voter is deeply uninterested in these matters. They want to see MPs and Parliament in general and political parties get on with the job of actually making Victoria better. They want to actually see people focus on good policy ideas. They want to see them focus on sensible things in Parliament. They want to see them focus on better outcomes for the community. They want a higher standard of living. At the moment, obviously, we've got a COVID-19 crisis, and they want to see ideas and suggestions for that. And they also want to see us standing up for local communities. You know, each MP, of course, represents a particular geography, and they want to see us standing up in Parliament. I mean, we've got, you know, this week coming in Parliament, the biggest issue will be the extension of the state of emergency that Daniel Andrews has sought. He sought a, you know, 12-month extension. We'll certainly be fighting that. We think that's far too long. We think that a month-to-month extension is sufficient, and we'll be working very hard on that. But I think people want to see their MPs of whatever colour or whatever stripe they are working for them, not for internal party things or extraneous matters. So, you know, it's really... Okay. You're there to do a job, is my point.
Yeah. So, David, you've said that the public out there is deeply disinterested in this.
Well, they want MPs to focus on things that matter.
But as the leader of the party in the Legislative Council, one of four in the leadership group, are you deeply disinterested in this?
No, I'm deeply interested in getting on with the job of actually doing this for Tories.
But this branch stacking, David, are you deeply disinterested in it?
Well, I don't. I just wish MPs and others would get on with their job and do the work that's required. Party organisation, people need to get in and support the parliamentary party, federal and state, and actually help with the ideas and the policy suggestions, as well as the obvious logistics that come at election time and likewise. So, we've all got jobs to do. Let's actually get on with those jobs let's actually make the difference that's going to count to people. You know, as I say, we've got quite serious issues that we've got to deal with in this state, and especially in Victoria, but Australia-wide too. And that's got to be the absolute focus of each MP. And I'd also say, in terms of the organisation, people have got a role, and that is to support MPs, to put forward the policy ideas and suggestions, and provide the administrative and logistics support that's needed. If we're not doing those things, that's the wrong way.
Look, we'll get, you know, some of those issues that you talked about. I do want to touch on those, but I've actually got both Tass and I this one's actually come in from a listener, and it says, good to hear you on air, David. I actually live in your electorate, and I voted for you. So there you go. There's one of them.
Thank you. I'm always happy to have one. that means there's at least two, because I did vote for myself.
Well, there you go. So he says, David, do you feel uncomfortable that your leader supported Karina Oakatell for federal vice president? Now, he said when this happened, that Karina Oakatell got 28 votes versus 83. I think this is someone from the Beltway, David. But, you know, that Karina Oakatell, you know, advocates for conversion therapy, has a very, very conservative view. I know what your position is on conversion therapy, and this is someone that has actively campaigned in the Liberal Party, in fact, tried to put a motion up at State Council about conversion therapy. So your leader, Michael O'Brien, has supported Karina Oakatell. He advocated for her to become federal vice president. What message does that send to my community that your leader is supporting someone who advocates for conversion therapy? I find that pretty disturbing.
Well, let me just start. As you say, you do know my view on conversion therapy.
Yes,
my views are well known. The matter around, I was frankly not involved in the federal vice presidency matter, and you know, in a sense, people will advocate for one person or another person, and you know, I don't actually know the ins and outs of all of that. Let me just say though. She was not elected, and that's, you know, that's the point, I guess, the fact of the matter. At the end of the day, our party, as in all major political parties, they're very broad. They have a whole range of different views. Some are very conservative, some very progressive or liberal in the old-fashioned sense of that word. And political parties have got to a certain extent, accommodate a very broad range of views. And, you know, I mean, we've made our view. Michael O'Brien's made his views, I think, on your show, known about conversion therapy. And that's party's position. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean that there won't be people within the party who have a different view.
I just want to...
Taz will know exactly what I mean inside the Labor Party. There's a big range of different views. You wouldn't pluck out one person and say that's their view.
Oh no! You know, look, it's a broad church. Sometimes the church needs an exorcism, though, David. I just want to play you a little clip. Something that Karina Oakatell actually said yesterday. Right, Karina is still a member of the party. She still has a lot of influence with a lot of members of the party. I just want to play you this little clip that she said yesterday. Just have a listen to this.
Arguing against the proposed use of this treatment. What I don't agree with is limiting people's freedom to access counselling in relation to sexuality, whether it be out of or in fact into same-sex attraction, if they, of their own free will, wish to engage in this. These positions accord entirely with Liberal values, and to suggest that they somehow reflect an inconsistent hard right position is to either not understand what the values of the Liberal Party are, or to try to...
So what she's saying, David, is she's still advocating for conversion therapy, and she's saying that sits quite comfortably with Liberal policy. Do you want to disown that? Do you want to say that she's completely wrong?
No. Let me just make a clear point here. Both myself as the Shadow Minister and Michael O'Brien as leader have given the parliamentary parties no position quite clearly. But beyond that, there will be a range of views. I accept that. My clear position is that therapies and treatments should be based on science and proper information. And, you know, I mean, indeed on this show, I think I talked about a number of key studies. And if people want to see what drives my views on this, they can actually look up in the record in the Parliament. And I've put on record quite a number of different key studies that make it clear that conversion therapy is not a recognised or effective treatment. So, you know, health treatments should be based
on health,
yeah, evidence and science. And if they're not, that's not the way it should be operating.
Now,
but that's, I mean, I can't be more clear than that. Look, others have got a different view. They're, you know, I can't control the views of many people, obviously. And people do have different views, but, you know, that is just the reality of a broad-based political party.
Tass has got a question for you.
Look, it's not really a question, Macker. I just wanted to say that, pleasingly, I received a message from one of your colleagues just last night, David, and I'm going to read this out. The message says, on a personal level, Tass, I want you to know that Liberals don't support the sick things that she says. I'm so sorry that people in your world... I'm so sorry that people in the world have her views. So that was directly in response to some of the comments that Okatel made. Those comments, of course, can be found, and you can actually find the video clip on The Good Source, which is a platform for conservative viewpoints.
For right-wing nut jobs.
Well, that's not a way of expressing it, Macca.
Well, okay. Well, you won't find many Fabians on there, that's for sure.
So I was actually very pleased to receive that message last night, and I'm also very pleased to hear the comments that you've made this morning again. It's actually a step in the right direction for decency. Of course, we need to be vigilant in dealing with these issues, and I'm sure that you and your colleagues are doing what you can to ensure that decency always prevails.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. Here's Tass.
Thanks, Macca. We are speaking with David Davis, who's the leader of the opposition in the Upper House and also well-known to our community as being the Opposition Minister for Equality. David, I know you're keen to talk about this current epidemic and the coronavirus and what's occurring. The question that we'd like to put to you is, if you were the Minister for Health today, and based on what's occurring in the community at the moment, you know, for the first time in many weeks, the number of new infections has dropped to just under 100. Now, of course, it'll probably creep up over 100 again, but it is trending in the right direction. Based on the information that is available, the data that we have, the current status of the epidemic, what would you be advocating if you were the Minister for Health?
Well, I'd like to step back one moment and just say that what we wouldn't have done is overburden the Department of Health as it was. John Brumby split it in the late 2000s. We kept it split into health and human services, separate items, separate areas in the period we were in government. In January 2015, Andrews winning brought the two huge sections. So this department became, in my view, huge and unwieldy and excessively complicated to manage. Meanwhile, the government, I think, went through with a whole series of administrative changes and personnel changes, which left the department in a much weaker position. And, you know, I think that this is part of the root of the problem that's occurred here.
What would you do? What would you do if you were the Minister?
Would you refocus it, David? Would you refocus it?
Responsibility and what has gone wrong. It's pretty clear that the Chief Health Officer, and I've come to his the issues with some of the things he's doing at the moment, is in a difficult position. He's not got the authority and not got the support that he needs. At the same time, we've got excessive meddling from the Premier's office and the Department of Premier and Cabinet, and the lines of responsibility in health are confused and chaotic. So when we came to hotel quarantine, it's now clear that health had the primary responsibility, not for the selection of security guards, but for the management of the structures and the arrangements with quarantine. They botched that in a monumental way, and all Victorians and indeed Australians are suffering because of that. So bad administrative structures, bad decisions, bad oversight have got us into this problem. The contact tracing sections of the department have been chaotic and hopeless over the last period.
So it's August. So it's Saturday, August the 29th. What would you do if you were the minister today?
Yeah, now. We know about the challenges.
I would use the army. I would be doing some of those steps. I would be actually having the clean lines of structure. I would be putting a senior, strong person in charge of the contact tracing and able to make that work. Because if we don't have that working, we're going to struggle to keep this under control, and we're going to struggle to control future outbreaks. And there will be future outbreaks. So, you've got to have the right arrangements in place. They haven't still got the right arrangements in place. I have no confidence whatsoever in the way that that system is functioning now. And unless you've got those clear lines...
So you would bring in the army and you would appoint a senior contact tracer. What else would you do? Is that enough?
Yeah, and I would put the resources that are required in there. I would be getting rid of the private security guard approach. I think that's nuts. It's clear now that some of these decisions were very bad, and these are some of the ways forward. You've got to have more information out there as well. The department has been slow to put information out to measure its own performance. If you take contact tracing just as a case study here, the time from testing to advice about results of testing, the time when an outbreak occurs to the period that the facility, whatever it is, it could be an aged care facility, it could be a kindergarten, it could be a business or an abattoir, the contact tracing approaches have got to be right, and they still aren't. The time periods are bad there, and the measurement of those time periods. So the department doesn't report much on itself and its own performance, and that is a key. That is a key issue.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is, if I can just give a summary, you'd bring the army in, you'd appoint a senior contact tracer, you would get rid of the privatised security guard arrangements, and you would increase reporting back to the community. That's a great suite of initiatives.
Great place to start.
There's some very practical, straightforward suggestions, and I think the huge error that Andrew's made in forcing those departments together has created a monolith. I don't think the top, the minister in this area, Jenny Markakis, has been up to it. She really just frankly hasn't. And nor is the secretary, and nor of some of the next few layers down. So I think there's a real issue here. And I point the finger directly back at the Premier too. His meddling and belief that he can run this all himself is, he is a serious control freak, and I think that is a problem with these sorts of serious matters that have got such complex aspects. If everything's going back to the bunker in the Premier's office...
I'm not quite sure who's going to run this then. Is it the army or the senior contact tracer that you're going to appoint?
The contact tracer, or somebody who's got the contact tracing...
Actually, perhaps Bernie Finn could do it. Bernie would be good at this, surely.
Who would?
Bernie Finn.
I don't think an MP, frankly, is the person. And I think that's my point. You actually want people who've got logistic skills and capacities that have got proven abilities in these areas. New South Wales has done a much better job on the contact tracing than Victoria has.
Okay, David. One final question. As Shadow Minister for Federal and State Relations, you talked about, just very briefly there, aged care. Now we know, we know who funds and we know who regulates and we know who does compliance checks on federally funded aged care in Victoria, and we know the argument about, public health, that's a Victorian responsibility. There's blurred it's blurred responsibility, but... the federal government, and as Shadow Minister for Federal State Relations, what would you do if you're in government now and you've got that portfolio on this aged care issue? What would be the two things that you would do to make this situation better?
Well, if I go back to the contact tracing, and this is a critical thing, you actually need to get that right. So, as I say, whether it's an aged care centre or an abattoir or a school or a restaurant, wherever there's an outbreak, there's got to be the resources put in and the proper a follow-up on the scale that's required. Now, I think there's plenty of responsibility here to go around. There's no question about that. Different layers can share some of that, no question. But if you're asking me at a state level what I would do, that is where I would be putting my energy and
decision-making. Contact tracing. Look, we are unfortunately out of time, David. I'm sorry about that. It's always great to talk to you. And, you know, I do appreciate you.
Can I just say one more thing before I go? I think this week is very important with the state of emergency extension. We are very worried about giving the Premier and the government a 12-month blank check on these huge powers. They need to be controlled by the Parliament. We need to make it month to month with both chambers giving extensions as required and seeking more information and more explanation. The government has not been honest and transparent with the information it's provided. We've had a lot of trouble getting basic information out of the Department of Health and Human Services.
Yep.
Critical baseline information.
We would be interested in reporting on where the dishonesty has been, if you can establish that and get it to us, David.
Yeah, look, you know, as you know, we have regular spots for you and your colleagues. We'd like to hear about that. We are unfortunately out of time, David. I want to thank you again for your time on a Saturday. Hopefully you get out in the sun, use that 1 hour of exercise to good effect. And thanks again for putting yourself up for scrutiny. We appreciate it.
The dog and I are heading out shortly. So,
and I'll give you a political analogy about branch stacking. Dogs don't bark at parked cars. Think about it.
The dog sometimes... You know, there was a fabulous cartoon I saw in the paper a while ago. It had the dog up on top of the fridge hiding.
Yep.
Sort of saying from the top of the fridge, oh, no, not another walk.
Not another one, yeah, I know. All right, David, you have a good day. Thanks again.
See ya.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.